Father, today as we look back, as we reflect on what you have done, on what you are doing, and Lord, as we look ahead to what you are going to do, may you warm our hearts. May our hearts be filled with your goodness, with your love, because of your mercy and grace to us. We worship you this morning, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Remain standing. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We'll say it together. A psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Well, good morning. Great to see you this morning. We're celebrating the Lord's goodness this Sunday. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and I hope that you have prepared your hearts to come to worship the Lord this morning, because that's what we're going to be doing the whole time. And fellowshipping with the Lord around his word, around prayer, around testimony, and of course expressing the worship of our hearts, first in our hearts, right? Making melody in our hearts, the Bible says, and then through our mouths and our voices, giving thanks to the Lord. Well, I'm glad you've decided to come here this morning. I know we have a number of guests, family members, folks in town for the holidays and things like that, or perhaps you're just stopping by for the very first time at Heather Hills. I want to give you a special welcome. I'm Pastor McCrory, the senior pastor here at Heather Hills, and we're delighted that you've chosen to worship with us today. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, you can be a help to us by just taking one of the little cards from the rack in front of you and filling it out. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And perhaps on the back, you can jot us a comment or a prayer request. We look through those every week, pray over them. If there's anything we can help you with in your spiritual life, we'd love to get in contact with you. If you're looking for a church home, then we hope that perhaps you can find one here. So Heather Hills is all about sharing Jesus with our neighbors and then following him together. That is the mission of our church, and we're having a great time doing it. The Lord is giving us great joy and great reason to celebrate his goodness this day. Well, I'm going to ask the gentlemen if they'll prepare for our first offering this morning. We're taking two offerings this morning. The first is our general offering. It's the one we take every Sunday for the operating expenses of the church. And then toward the end of the service, we'll be taking a special offering called the harvest offering. And we'll explain that a little more if you're not familiar with it when we get to that point in the service. As the men are coming, I'd like us all just to bow our heads, close our eyes, and let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning, as we ask him to bless not only these funds received, but also thanking him for his goodness. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning with humble hearts, recognizing that were it not for the blood of Jesus Christ shed on a cross for our sins, were it not for his resurrection from the dead 3 days later, we would have no hope. We would have no reason to meet here this morning. We would have no joy in our heart. Father, but you have come, and you have taken our sins on yourself, and you have paid the penalty for them, and you have risen from the dead. You have offered us eternal life by faith. Thank you, Father, for the good gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for all of the good gifts that you give. We learn from Scripture, Father, that every gift that comes from above, from the Father of lights. Lord, you're a Father who loves us. Thank you for your love. Your Father who has mercy on us. Thank you so much, Father, for your mercy. Thank you for not giving us what we deserve. Thank you for withholding your righteous justice because of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your church, Father. Thank you for the witness that you have raised up here, Lord, almost 40 years ago, Lord, more than 40 years ago, Father, and thank you for the souls that have been saved in this place and through this the witness of this people. Lord, thank you for the light that has shined in this community. Thank you for those who have grown to maturity in their faith. Thank you for the faithful testimony of the Word of God preached and taught in this room and in many locations, Father, around this facility and in homes throughout this community. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people, Father, in giving of themselves and their resources and their talents and their gifts to the work of the ministry. Thank you for our leadership, Father. Thank you for those who have volunteered, Lord, extra time from all of our busy schedules, Lord, to come together to serve your church, to use their spiritual gifts in ministry. Father, we thank you this morning specifically for several folks, Father, for rulers. We thank you this morning for Brother Doug Wilson and Brother Mark Yaver from our church leadership team. Thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the government that you've given to us. I pray this morning for Justice Scalia and Justice Kennedy on the Supreme Court, that you would give them wisdom as they continue to show, Lord, justice in our legal system. And Father, we pray for Representative Bill Crawford and Senator Pat Miller, Lord, who represent this location, Father. And we thank you, Lord, this morning for our missionaries. We thank you specifically for Roger and Noreen Russ, who, Lord, the desire of their heart is to get back to Ghana, Lord, and because of sickness and illness, Lord, they have had to remain here. And we pray for Noreen as she recovers from, Lord, this time of trial and physical suffering. And we pray that you would strengthen her body, Lord, and continue to give them hope. And Father, we pray that you'll return them to their field, Lord, the desire of their hearts as soon as is possible. Father, we thank you for those within our church family. We thank you for, Father, some of our military young people. We thank you for Mike Kinney, Lord, who is on his way to Iraq even today. And Father, we pray that you will give him safety, security, that you will wrap your arms of love around him. And Father, help him to be a faithful testimony for Jesus Christ, even on the battlefield. Lord, we think of Rihanna Simpson as well, Father, who is still with us, Lord, but will be deployed, we have heard, Father, next year. And we pray that you will give her peace, Father, and give her wisdom, help her to trust you and know that you will direct her paths, Lord, and that you have a perfect plan for her. Father, I thank you for our sister churches, for those that we are fellowshipping together with, and Lord, that we are witnessing together of the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, Father, I thank you for the ministry of Grace Community Church, Father, in Sun Valley, California, for the ministry of Dr. John MacArthur and the light that that church is showing forth in their community, and for Dr. MacArthur's ministry through radio, Father, across really the world. We thank you for the ministry there, and even how that ministry has touched our own associate pastor, Lord, for the Kirbys, and thank you for them and the 5 months, Lord, that they have been with us and the precious addition to our church family that they have been. Pray that you'll strengthen them and continue to use them in a mighty way, Lord, in years to come. And Father, Lord, during this time, even as we give of the fruits of our labors, Father, to you through this offering, we pray that you will take it and use it. We pray that you would help us to be good stewards of that which you have given to us, Lord, as we spread the gospel, not only in this community, but around the world. And I pray that as we continue with our praise service this morning, Father, that as Christians have from the dawn of time, Lord, as believers in God, Father, have since the very beginning, that we would, Father, open our hearts, and even as we've just sung, that we would love you, that we would love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. Father, if we would just do that, if we would just do that, we'd be fulfilling, Lord, the law of God. And Father, help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, I'm encouraged this morning even to see the response of your people. As I look through the foyer, I see the boxes for the children around the world through the Operation Christmas. And Lord, I see the tables full of food for the needy, Father, and I know those have brought clothing in for the missionaries as well, and so many ways, Lord, that we are trying to reach out and show the love of Jesus to one another. Father, thank you for a congregation that takes that seriously. Encourage us, Father, in the grace and in the gospel of Jesus Christ this day. May our hearts be full to overflowing with the joy that you have given us, Lord, just as you prayed that in John chapter 15. Father, I pray this morning that you would free us from distraction, that you would help us to focus our whole selves on you. on who you are, on what you have done. And may we be glad. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen.
We have some unplanned testimonies for you. We're even, you ready for this? We're even going to take a few favorites out of the hymnal if you give a testimony. You like that? See how that works? So right now, Linda Evans is going to come and share a testimony and share a testimony with all of us.
Good morning. Well, Pastor Brian asked me to share a testimony about the evangelism training and whatever else I would like to praise the Lord for. And I can tell you, I would fill the rest of the hour praising the Lord if I had the opportunity to do so, but I won't. When he asked me to participate in the initial training of evangelism, and then to train three classes, I had to really pray about it. And Judy Gillen prayed much with me, my husband, many friends. I knew that it was going to stretch me, and I agreed to do it because I'm not gifted in the area of evangelism. But it's something I knew I needed to learn and to be comfortable with and to use in my Christian life. So I was his biggest skeptic, he will tell you that, in our initial training class. I struggled to learn the verses, and I struggled to learn the little statements and the little drawings with it. And all the while I'm thinking, how can this all work together? And yet the Lord gave me grace, and with the training, it finally came together. And I could just see with his help that it was simple, and it was a complete way to explain the gospel and to bring someone to the point of choosing Jesus Christ as their ruler and submitting to him and choosing that rather than ruling their own life, which leads them to death and judgment. Well, I praise God for the opportunity to instruct the classes. It's been an amazing journey to watch the gals in all three classes. There was a skeptic, just like myself, and it was wonderful, though, to see them commit to the training. Each sought to learn, and they saw the value of this training, and it's just been a thrill to hear them talk about how the Lord has given them encouragement and the power to open their mouths, to have opportunities to share, and they're alert now to opportunities and getting into spiritual conversations and nudging people just a little bit closer to the kingdom of God and to share the gospel with their friends and family. So that I would challenge any of you, if you have the opportunity to take the training, it's a wonderful tool in your toolbox for God. Well, I would also like to praise the Lord for the privilege of being in a position to observe many behind-the-scenes people serving quietly and in so many ways using their gifts. And when there is a need, a plea sent out, you respond. And it's a blessing to see how God fulfills those needs by using all of you. Finally, I want to praise the Lord for our pastors and consider it a privilege to serve them. I can testify that they are the same in the workplace as you see them here on Sunday. They are loving caretakers of this flock. They're not greedy for money. They are eager to serve and to lead by example. They are humble in heart. They are upright, holy, and disciplined. They have love, patience, and endurance. They have great patience and careful instruction with a sound doctrine. They have this body of people in their best interest, and they seek to protect this flock. They pray with great intensity for all of us. And they are also human just like us, and that means they need prayer desperately. Therefore, when Joni Cutshaw was burdened to begin a ministry of prayer for our pastors, I knew it would be a blessing to participate. And it's been just that. Each Thursday morning from 8 to 8:20 or 8:30 sometimes. Women are meeting to pray for our pastors in the teen room. This is a precious time of praying the scriptures to the Lord for our pastors. We also pray for their specific needs as they have shared with us. It's such a privilege to pray for God's appointed heralds, apostles of the word, and teachers of the word, the men who lead us. I conclude with just asking ladies to join us on Thursday mornings. Anyone, though, can participate in prayer for our pastors, wherever you are, men, women, teens, and children. Pastors are Satan's greatest targets. This is a vital ministry that offers protection for them, their families, and for our church family. These are copies of the scriptures that we pray, and they're available for you at the Information Center.
Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to take just a few moments and have a time for some testimonies from all of us. So here's the deal. You don't have to give a favorite if you don't want. But if you would like to give a favorite today for us to sing, we ask a couple of things. Number one, that it be out of the hymnal in front of you. The only reason for that is it would kill our guys in the back to have to type and get everything up on the screen right away. And that it has to be something that is somewhat known. Otherwise, we may have you come up and just sing it as a solo. So, no, I'm kidding. We wouldn't do that. Maybe. So we'll go ahead and take a time. How has God been working in your life, and do you have a song that you would like to sing that goes along with that? The only other request that I have is that we hold off on Great is Thy Faithfulness, because I think that one may pop up during this, but we're going to sing that here in just a little bit. So, any testimonies? You don't have to come up or anything. You can just stand where you're at and give a quick testimony, maybe a favorite.
We're going to take just a few moments now and spend a little time in prayer. What I'd like you to do is this. I'd like you to just circle around with maybe 4 to 6 folks around you. If you don't know them, that's okay too. Circle around and get to know them real quick. But this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like each person in your group to pray in a circle. The prayers don't have to be long. But what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to praise the Lord for 3 things. One, I'd like you to praise the Lord for something about himself. Praise the Lord for something about God, an attribute of God. Secondly, I'd like you to think of something to praise the Lord for his church. Something to praise the Lord about for his church. And thirdly, I'd like you to praise the Lord for something about the person sitting to your right in the circle. Okay, so praise the Lord for who he is. Praise the Lord for his church. And praise the Lord for your brother or sister. And we'll just take 4 or 5 minutes. And let's take the prayers to the Lord in great praise this morning from his people.
Continue our worship this morning. Revelations chapter 5, we'll read about 8 verses here together about the glory of Christ. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the 4 living creatures and the elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped.
Pray for me. It's hard for me to get up here. I asked the pastor if I could stay in my seat, and he said, "Come up front, Polly." But you know what? I'm doing this for Jesus, because what he did for me. I love the Lord with all my heart and soul, and I want to give him praise and thank him. I could thank him for hours and hours for what he took me through from the beginning to the end. What I'm really thankful for is how God was faithful. His promises were true. His word. I just thank him so much. I thank this church, Pastor Bob, for being there, always coming. Pastor Brian and Kirby and the Mercy Ministry, you guys have done so much for me. And I don't know what I would have done without you. You were great. When I was low, you know, I'd get a phone call or a card. And I'd say, "Lord, I need an extra blessing from you today." And God's so good. And I'd lay down at night, and I would just lay there and think. I'd say, "Lord, you sent me 6 blessings today, but you're wonderful." And the Mercy Ministry, Jeannie and Barry. Mercy, Jeannie, I was home for like a year and a half. I left Mont twice. I couldn't bring myself to leave him. People would say, "You need to get out of the house. You need to go." But I wanted to be with my buddy, my best friend. So Jeannie and Barry came, and she said, "Pauline, get your tennis shoes on. You're going, girl." I said, "Oh, can I stay home? I don't want to go." So I started getting out. And there's some these scriptures that I've got wrote down here, they mean so much to me during that time, and they still do. I just cling to God's word. He gave me so much strength. "So humble yourself under the mighty power of God. In his good time, he will honor you. Give all your worries and cares, for he cares about what happens to you." John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." About 3 years ago, Jesus took me down that path. That was very heartbreaking. Most all of you know Mont and me, but some of you may not. My husband and my best friend of 45 years, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. You know, it's a very cruel disease. At first, one of the most heartbreaking things, he looked at me and he said, "Who are you?" I said, "Honey, I'm your wife, Pauline." He said, "I don't know you." And of course, my heart sank when he said that. This man had always taken such good care of me. Loved the Lord with all of his heart. A soul winner for our Lord Jesus. Very knowledgeable of God's word. And a wonderful husband and father. As the months would pass, I would pray that God would heal him. I'd say, "Lord, just give him back his mind so he can read your word." That didn't happen. We loved Jesus, so I would read to him for hours God's word. It was very sad for me to see my husband, my best friend, with this awful disease. It was heart-wrenching for me. And so many times, I would just go be alone. And I would say, "Lord, I need your strength. Just give me..." And I would cry out to him when I was weak. And he would always lift me up. He was there for me from the beginning to the end. God is always faithful. He tells us in his word that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that was so true. He was just with me all the way. I can't praise him and thank him enough for what he's done for me. I can say all this stuff because I experienced it. God is real. People would say to me, they'd say, "You won't be able to keep him home and take care of him. You won't be able to do that. It'll be too much for you." At the beginning of his disease, when I would pray, I'd ask God, I'd say, "God, let me keep my husband and take care of him." That was the desire of my heart. I loved him so much, I couldn't stand to be away from him. And I would say, "Lord, just let me keep him home and care for him." And he would always, that still, small voice would always speak to me, "It'll be okay. It'll be okay." And I always had peace about that. When people would tell me that I couldn't do it, I'd say, "Yes, I can. And I'm going to with God's help." And I'd always answer him back, "I'm weak. I'm so weak." They'd say, "You're a strong person. I don't know how you do this." I'd say, "No, I'm not strong. It's the Lord. It's not me. It's God in me. I can do nothing without him. I'm weak, but God is strong. He's my strength. When I was the weakest, God's almighty strength was the strongest in me." Three weeks before Mont went home to be with the Lord. Well, really, they started preparing me when hospice came the 1st of July. They would tell me, they would say, talk to me about his body shutting down. They would say, "The sooner the better. I know you don't want to hear this." And it was so painful for me because my best friend, I didn't want to lose him. They was trying to prepare me, but you're never prepared. You're never ready to let go. And I didn't want to let go. And they kept telling me, "You need to tell him bye. You need to tell him it's okay." For months and months, from July till the 1st of October, God gave me peace I'd had him in a hospital bed for a couple weeks, and then I told him, I said, honey, it's okay to go. Go be with Jesus. Go be with Jesus. I'll be okay. I said, I'll be all right. God, he took me from many times Mont and I would talk, and when he first got the disease, he would ask the Lord to take him home. He would say, Lord, my mind's going. I just want to come home and be with you. Take me home, Lord. And I would say, but honey, I don't want you to go. What will I do without you? No one will love me here like you do. I don't want you to go. And he would say, you'll be okay. You'll be all right. And God using those words to comfort me now. We talked a lot, and we would hug each other and cry, because it was hard to see my best friend going through this. God took me from not wanting him to go to saying, it's okay, honey. It's all right. I'm not going to say bye to you. I'll just say I'll see you later. That was hard. Then I would probably about, well, a couple weeks, 3 weeks. It was so wonderful how God just moved, and he just prepared our hearts, gave us strength that we needed, and it was all of the Lord. We would be around his bed singing the old time gospel hymns and praying, and as long as he was able, he would say, amen, amen. He loved to hear God's word and loved to sing. And it was so precious to be able to do that and have that peace that comes from God. When he had a real bad seizure a couple weeks before he went home to be with Jesus, I thought he was going then. And I promised my kids and my family, because it was horrible for me to see, because I was there, him and I were there alone. And I promised my kids, if that happened, if it got too much for me, that I would go out of the room at the last if he struggled too much and it was too hard. And again, God was so faithful. I said, Lord, if you want me to be out of the room when you take Jesus home, that's okay. If it's your will, let me be with him. Let me be holding his hand when you take his hand. God was good. He let me do that. I was hugging him and holding his hand when Jesus took him home. One of Mont's favorite verses is Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I miss him so much. It's hard, but God is my strength. He's with me. I'm doing what I'm doing because I love Jesus. I'm up here because I love Jesus. And if anybody here that's not saved, please accept Jesus, because he is our strength. I don't know what I would have done without him. I will praise Psalms 86:12. I will praise the Lord. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. and I will glorify thy name forever, and I will always tell people what God has done for me, what he, how faithful and that he was to me from the beginning till the end, and he's going to continue to be there for me. I know that, and I want God to use me to help people, and I want to be used of the Lord to help people that's going through what I went through, because I know I've been there. And that's what it's all about. I just thank God for the people that come to help me and that was there for me. And I want to be there to help people. It's wonderful to have the Lord and have his peace. And I just thank God for our church and all of you. Thank you so much for your prayers, because I felt people's prayers, your cards and everything. I would be down, and here I would get a card in the mail, get a phone call. That was so encouraging to me. But you know when people are praying for you. You know it. You know it. There's not a doubt about it. And I thank God for all of you. Thank God for everything that he's done for me. And continue to pray for me, because I miss my buddy. I miss him. I feel like part of me's gone. But I know one day I'll be with him. And you know what? I have such comfort in knowing that he's whole again. He's got his mind back. And that, oh, that's wonderful to know that, you know, he's the old man again. And I know he's saying to me right now, Polly, you're all right, honey. You're going to be okay. I just know that. I feel his, you know, I just always feel his presence with me. And when I'm at the house alone, I'll talk to the Lord, talk to Montu, and I say, Lord, now it's you and I. And you know you've never let me down, and I know you're not going to. So keep praying for me. Thank you.
It is not death to close the eyes long dimmed by tears, and wake in joy before your throne, delivered from our fears. Jesus, conquering the grave, your precious blood has power to save. Those who trust in you will in your mercy find that it is not death to die. It is not death to flee aside this earthly dust, and rise with strong and noble wing to live among the just. It is not death to hear the key unlock the door that sets us free from mortal years to praise you evermore. Oh, Jesus, conquering the grave, your precious blood has power to save. Those who trust in you will in your mercy find that it is not death to die. Oh, Jesus, conquering the grave, your precious blood has power to save. Those who trust in you will in your mercy find
that it is not death to die.
You may be seated again. Our last testimony was not able to be here because last night Elijah Daniel was born at 8 pounds 1 ounces, 20 and a half inches long. Elijah Daniel Ochin is in the world. And praise the Lord. And mommy and baby are both doing fine after a very long pregnancy, as you know, a lot of bed rest and some complications along the way, and you have been faithful to love them and taking them meals and encouraging them and praying for them, and the Lord is blessed with a beautiful baby boy, and we are delighted for them. Trey was going to share some of the goodness of God. He has a unique story to tell, too, over this last year, a lot of change in his life. And the goodness of God is certainly represented. Would you just take your Bibles for a moment and turn to Psalm 138? I want to share just briefly this wonderful psalm with you, and then we'll close. Psalm 138, a wonderful song, a psalm of praise, of thanksgiving to the Lord. And as we kind of read it, I want you to notice several things that we can praise the Lord for and give thanks to Him for. Psalm 138, verse 1 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, lowercase g, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. It's a wonderful psalm of David, and just a couple of things to think about. First, if you are searching for something to be thankful about this morning, perhaps you have come here this morning with a heart that is depressed. Perhaps you've come here this morning with a heart that is critical toward God even. Can I remind you of just a couple of things? You should be thankful this morning for the wonder of your salvation. For the wonder of your salvation. Before coming to know Christ, each of us lived in a spiritual prison. We were guilty. We were condemned. We were blind. We couldn't pay our debts to God. We had a future of eternal separation from Him. But Christ rescued us from the power and penalty of sin, didn't he? We sing of salvation, we talk of salvation, we share it with others. Thank God for saving us. It should be the daily, ongoing work of our lips and our life. The wonder of salvation. You should be thankful for knowing the truth. You see that in verse 2 there, in verse 4, it says, you've exalted above all things your name and your word. Some people would come into a place like this and visit with us for a few weeks and say, boy, they're kind of obsessed with that book, aren't they? Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Watch a half hour of news at night and tell me if the word chaos doesn't come to mind. Conflict abounds. Solutions are scarce. The political process seems to be drifting rudderless on a sea of confusion. Life is all questions, no answers. Seems to be no standard by which we can judge good and evil, right and wrong. But thanks to God, we know the truth. We have the eternal, authoritative standard that we can depend on for all matters of life. And because the truth that is given to us in the scriptures, we can understand life better than all the educators, better than all the philosophers, better than all the talking heads, better than all the politicians combined. We know how to be good employees. We know how to love our spouses. We know how to raise our families. We know how to love our neighbors. Meaning in life is not a question because we know the truth. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the storms of life. We heard a testimony of a storm this morning. Most of us have gone through storms this year. David referenced it there in verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. You know, it's sometimes the most difficult time to be thankful, isn't it? Sometimes the most difficult time to be thankful when we're in the midst of a storm or a trial. Sometimes giving thanks is not our first reaction. It's never easy, but it's always right to give thanks in the midst of trials. And a lot of us who have known the Lord for a while, we have learned from experience, haven't we? That it's those moments are the ones that God seems to be at most at work in our lives through the times of trial. Can I share another blessing with you through a trial? Back earlier this year, all of us shared collectively in a trial that our beloved Pastor Bob went through. If you're new to our church, you don't know what I'm talking about, but those who were here during the time, you do. And you know, we had a real time of prayer and a real time of trial. Some accusations were made against Pastor Bob, and he claimed innocence. And it was a long, drawn out. We had to get the police involved, and thanks be to God that even through that trial, earlier this month, I sat in a courtroom downtown Indianapolis with my brother and heard the lady who made the accusations plead guilty to having made false accusations against our brother. His name is Clear. Praise be to God. But it was a storm. It was a trial. We learned through it. We grew through it, just as we should. Thank the Lord for faithful churches. There are a lot of churches in our land today that seem to have a spiritual identity crisis. Many churches have buckled under pressure to various things, and as a result, doctrine is compromised and biblical ministry is abandoned. And God's blessing sometimes has been taken away. That should grieve us. But thank the Lord for the many churches that are faithful, that have stayed the course, and continue to struggle, but have not given up the fight. Large or small, the congregations that remain faithful to God's words, they're the ones who are alive. They're the ones who are flourishing. They're the ones who are reaching their community. They're the ones who are advancing the kingdom of God. They've resisted the fads. They've remained true to God's calling and see his blessing. I'm grateful to him for those churches. I'm grateful to him for this church and for the stand that we take on the scriptures and for the encouragement that such churches are to me. Be thankful for people who make a difference. You know, for someone once said, friends in your life are like pillars on your porch. Sometimes they hold you up and sometimes they lean on you. Sometimes it's just enough to know they're standing by. That's certainly been true in my life. I'm sure it is in yours. There are many people whom I thank God regularly for bringing such color and warmth to my life. My wife, Deborah, my children, a wonderful staff, wonderful leadership team who labor with me for the sake of the gospel. And so many of you who are growing in your faith and courageously sharing it with others. Each one of you bless me greatly. You encourage me. I'm grateful for the friends whom I've been able to lean on, and some who, to a small degree, have been able to lean on me. Be thankful for people like that. I'm thankful for David. for sharing his heart of thanksgiving and praise to me. It encourages me. It strengthens me. Well, giving thanks has kind of been the theme of our service this morning, and we're going to give you another tangible way to do that at this time. In your bulletins, there's a harvest offering envelope. We're going to take this offering at this time. The ushers can prepare. The harvest offering, as you know, is a special offering that we take once a year. It's an offering that helps to go to meet the needs of our church, or many times we contribute to missions. That's certainly the case again this year. There are special ministries that we are funding with this offering this year that we want to be a blessing to and encourage them. And our goal, as I think all of you know, is about $20,000. It's a little less than we reached last year, but we're confident that God will give us exactly what we need. And I hope that you've taken time to prayerfully consider how God has blessed you, how God has graced you in your life, and are prepared this morning to grace the Church of Jesus Christ as well, and the many who will be ministered to through this contribution, this sacrifice of love this morning. So let's pray, and then I'll have the ushers collect our harvest offering this morning. We'll sing as the offering is collected. Father, as we now give again toward the work of your kingdom, thank you for the privilege of doing so. Lord, the ministries and the projects that are represented in this offering are significant. Lord, they touch many lives. And Father, we want to be a blessing to them. We want to see them fully funded, Lord, and active in the work that you have for each of them. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, your generosity to us. Thank you for meeting our needs. And Lord, we pray that out of the love of our hearts, Father, that we would give to you this morning again through this special harvest offering. Bless the gift and the giver because of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.